This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. The Truth Hurts program for Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. How's everybody doing today? I'm Steve Z, the host of this wonderful show. I have a few headlines I want to go over with you before I get into some common sense things. Joe Biden trailing Donald Trump in a new national poll on the 2024 election. Story by Melissa Cruz in the USA Today. Donald Trump leading Biden by 6 points in a new national poll out from CNN, the communist news network, cable news network, with nearly half of the voters say they're planning to place their support behind Donald Trump in the fall. 49% of those polled say they're expecting to vote for Trump, compared to 43% for Biden. Biden has dropped 2 percentage points, Trump remaining pretty much the same. In the scenario, Biden garnered only 33% of the vote. Trump held 42% of the vote when you put the other candidates in there, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. All right, moving on. Markets Insider Jennifer Soar writes, the U.S. economy is already in a recession, and it is currently following the same path as China, becoming reliant on debt. The U.S. economy looks like it's in a recession, according to Danielle DiMartino Booth. The chief strategist of QI Research pointed to weakness in the job market, with Joe Biden's economy causing major layoffs in multiple sectors. The economy, according to Ms. DiMartino Booth, the economy is in a rocky state, with U.S. debt looking more and more like China's. She says the U.S. economy is in a downturn, could be in the following of the footsteps of China, as the government assumes a growing amount of debt in order to prop up phony growth. The months that have passed show that the economy is already in a depression, despite Wall Street's fake upbeat outlook for a soft landing after Joe Biden's 3.25 years of inflation. The job market remains on solid footing by historical standards, adding around 300,000 jobs in March, and the unemployment rate artificially being listed as low. New payrolls were revised slightly lower for the month of February to 270,000. Meanwhile, layoffs and unemployment have inched higher in recent months, with a total of about 1.7 million jobs shed in the month of February, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So, every time a company reports their earnings, they're doing it with a kicker that says, hey, we're going to lay off another 2,000 or 2,400 or whatever. And so that is worrying economists nationwide. Layoffs could end up rising from 150,000 a month to 370,000 a month by the end of the year. Many other economists foresee a weaker labor market, raising the risk of recession even harder. The economy could enter a much harder landing by the end of the year and cause the unemployment rate to surge above 5%. This, according to David Rosenberg, a top economist. I could read on and on and on, but we don't need gloom and doom today. We only need to look at the massive number of layoffs following the minimum wage increase in California, as well as the massive number of layoffs in the automotive industry, despite Mr. Joe Biden claiming to be labor's best buddy while still trying to ram electric vehicles down our throat. There was a story on the Fox News Channel with Will and Pete's Off the Wall segment where they talked about Joe Biden and his phony resume. I'm going to play this 6-minute clip for you because, well, I'm basically being lazy today, but I thought you would appreciate hearing all of this from someone else's perspective.
From his cultural background to his education and experience, Joe Biden claims to have lived and witnessed it all. He's had more than 9 lives. But did he really, Will?
Yeah, so in fact, this week he told Howard Stern that he was arrested during the civil rights movement off of the front porch. No record of that arrest. Oh, no. Huh. So let's add that to the long, growing list of Biden's fictional resume. And let's go off the wall to see if we can keep track of everything about Joe Biden. I mean, the resume is getting long, from his ethnic background to his educational achievements to
truck
his
driver, truck driver, and this one right here. I mean, his uncle probably eaten by cannibals. We're going to get into what the Pentagon said about that. I mean, if that happened, it would certainly be in the Pentagon report, World War II.
Let's start with his ethnic background. I think at this point, he's claimed Italian, Puerto Rican, Greek, Irish, Jewish, Catholic heritage.
And raised in the black church.
Right.
By the way. Watch this.
I got my education for real in the black church. And that's not hyperbole, it's a fact.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home.
He said that he has gone by Bidenopolis.
Yes.
People referred to him as Bidenopolis
because he's so Greek. He was simultaneously raised in the black church and the Puerto Rican community.
Yeah, that's right.
In Scranton.
Right. Okay. He's also claimed affiliation and relationship with both the Italian community and the Jewish community.
Not hyperbole. Anytime someone tells you, not hyperbole,
it's
folks,
a fact.
Just a fact.
Right.
You ought to believe him. Here's, I think, what we believe the fact
primarily
is.
Primarily associated with his Irish roots.
Which is what he also calls out is, hey, I'm Irish. Right. So he can be whatever he needs to be on any given day. It's a good pandering politician knows how to peddle a line. It's just when you're the president of the United States and you claim six or seven different lineages, maybe we should call that into question.
All right, let's go now from his background.
Well, we're staying on background, just a different type.
Well, this is, whenever he says true story, he says, you know, if he says true story, also your antennas need to go up. Because true story about his uncle, one could call it fantastical.
Mm-hmm.
Down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there were a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
For real.
For real. It's always followed by a for real, or it's true, or I'm not joking,
right.
It's not hyperbole. So Biden's account is that his uncle, who's was part of a World War II crew, shot down, of course, not supported by any military reports or records. The Pentagon doesn't mention anything about cannibals, nor is there any evidence suggesting it. So maybe it was family myth and family lore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Finnegan is his uncle's last name. Was shot down.
Hero.
Pentagon says over the ocean, no evidence of anything to do with cannibals. And this has put us a little bit at odds with New Guinea. They took a little exception.
Yeah, New Guinea has not liked this. By the way, on a serious note, he said similar things about his son, Beau Biden, who he said was killed in Iraq, tragically lost his life in another way, but on the military, he's been loose with things for
right.
a while.
All right.
Hey, before we move on, the Pentagon clarifying did not say that Lieutenant Finnegan was on a plane that was shot down, but a plane that suffered engine failure in its twin engines. And when Joe Biden says it was his uncle's plane and his uncle was the pilot, the Pentagon has also come forward saying, no, he was just a courier, a mail boy, a guy carrying documents.
All right, I think we're moving to his education now. Joe Biden has quite the academic record, according to Joe Biden.
I think I probably have a much higher IQ than you do, I suspect. I went to law school on a full academic scholarship and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I won the international moot court competition, and I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
How does Joe Biden today have more hair than Joe Biden in 1988?
I don't know.
It's magic. Well, he thinks a lot of himself in
academic scholarship.
Record. Academic scholarship. Okay. And he was very clear. High IQ, top of his class, half of his class.
The academic scholarship was financial aid, right?
Oh, it
and,
was...
and 76th out of 85. In his law school class.
I don't know. I'm not great at math, but that's definitely not the top 50 percentile. I think it's the bottom 10%, maybe bottom 15. By the way, he said full academic scholarship. You're right. It was a half financial aid, which is a lot different than an academic scholarship.
Let's add this to his educational experience. He said, I was a runner-up at the state scoring championship in football. Don't laugh, man.
Did he say don't laugh, man?
Yeah.
There you go.
He was fifth in his conference.
Fifth in his conference?
Yeah.
That's like when I claimed to be an all-conference wide receiver. I think I was actually, by the way, Will. Look that up.
You were all-conference wide receiver?
All-conference wide receiver.
Not fifth in your conference.
Well, I was probably the 15th best receiver in my conference, but I was still all-conference.
Let's go to some more Joe Biden's experiences. He not only is the smartest guy you've ever met, but he's worked a blue-collar experience during his Irish, Puerto Rican, Greek upbringing.
You said it, Will. He's Forrest Gump.
Besides, I used to drive an 18-wheeler. About 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our train or by car.
Stop. There are no train tracks on the Key Bridge. This Francis Scott Key Bridge has never, does not, and will never have railroad tracks on it. Sorry, guys, didn't mean to interrupt.
Great honor of being arrested with our UN ambassador on the streets of Soweto.
Okay, let's go through
okay,
this. He is Forrest Gump.
This is great because the White House had to come out and say, officially confirm that Biden never
well,
drove
they,
an 18-wheeler.
They couldn't confirm that
no, no,
he
no.
ever...
They confirmed that he didn't.
Drive an 18-wheeler.
Never drove an 18-wheeler.
Think he sat in a semi-truck cab once?
That he drove a school bus a couple of times. And he once, according to once spent a night riding in a cargo truck. But he was not driving it. So you spend one night, and now you're an 18-wheel driver.
He says he took the train many times or the car over the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It doesn't have train tracks.
Well, he's Amtrak Joe. He should know, right? It doesn't have any train tracks.
He says he was arrested in Soweto. You know, this is in South Africa. There's no record of that. By the way, he said he was also arrested, as we pointed out, during the Civil Rights Movement. No record of that as well. So
all of that should lead you to wanting this. Where's the video?
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years.
Pause.
We almost need the 4 more years just to see where the resume goes.
Oh, imagine where it could go.
Right.
Imagine the possibilities.
Amazing.
Yeah, the possibilities might include the time he went to space and saved astronauts' lives on Mars or the International Space Station or the moon. Or the time he was there with John Glenn. The time he received the Nobel Prize. All lies of Joe Biden. And this is the Truth Hurts program. And a few moments ago, I spoke to you about Biden having a much lower score than Donald Trump in a new survey. The Hill's Lauren Sforza writes, Trump maintains lead over Biden in a new survey. So there's another incident of that. Here's one that you'll like. Greg Abbott issues a deadly alligator warning to the migrants. Now, I did a joke commercial parody about alligator wranglers loading up the Rio Grande with those Louisiana alligators that you often see killed on swamp people a while back. But now, according to the Newsweek publication, Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, is warning migrants of alligators in the Rio Grande River. Told you. Alligators are in the Rio Grande, he wrote on X, formerly Twitter. FYI, there are warning signs posted in some sectors. Cross at your own risk. This post came in response to a journalist's video of an alligator that a resident spotted while fishing in the Rio Grande near Eagle Pass, Texas. Auden Cabello's post says, local resident Luis de la Torre come across an alligator while fishing this morning in the Rio Grande. Previous sightings of alligators have been confirmed by the Border Patrol. There's even video of this incident going viral right now on X. Let's see if we can pull that up. Oh, he's a big boy. Sounds like a Volkswagen, but it's really an alligator. Head poking out of the water and part of his tail sticking out right there in the Rio Grande. I need lots of illegal immigrants you can munch on there, buddy. Call your friends over. All right, enough of that. Moving right along. As Biden abandons the term Bidenomics. What the Moving right along, in the USA Today, an article by Francesca Chambers says, as Biden abandons the term Bidenomics, Camel Toe Harris makes a different case before African American voters. This story's out of Atlanta. It says, Vice President Kamala Harris is shaking up her approach to the black community and making the economy the focal part. And she's now making the economy the focal point of a multi-state tour that she kicked off Monday in Georgia. She came to the battleground state to make an urgent case to voters who delivered a surprise victory for Joe Biden during the scandal-ridden 2020 election that he will ease their everyday costs if he wins re-election. So if a part Blafrican-looking black woman goes into the black community and lies to them, are they supposed to believe her because she has more melanin in her skin than the orange man? Part of a concerted effort by the White House to win back disappointed Americans, especially Blafrican Americans, by putting kitchen table issues at the front of the agenda. Take a listen to the lies of Camel Toe Harris and notice how her accent seems to change just like Hillary Clinton's did when speaking to black folk.
There are approximately 1.2 million Americans who are living in federally funded nursing homes. The vast majority of nursing homes are federally funded. And the majority of federally funded nursing homes are understaffed. For the first time, we are establishing, the first time in the history of our country, we are establishing national minimum staffing standards for federally funded nursing homes. For residents, this will mean more staff, which means fewer ER visits potentially. Mm-hmm. For care workers, it's going to be more time with their patients, uh-huh. less burnout, and lower turnover.
Yay, baby.
And I think that's what everybody needs to understand, is they are not just a job. These are people mm-hmm. that we are taking care of.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Sorry, folks. Wrong audio clip. Let's see if we can find the audio clip of Camel Toe Harris. Oh, they've managed to take it off and replace it by the one you just heard. How quaint. All right. Let's see. During much of last year, Joe Biden campaigned on his slogan of Bidenomics, claiming wins as historic investments in infrastructure, manufacturing, and the middle class from the bottom up and the middle out and all that other bullshit. But Biden has struggled to convince voters that they're experiencing a post-pandemic economic revival, probably because they're not. He sees the cost of food, housing, and other services remaining high thanks to Bidenomics and Biden inflation, even after inflation rates have slowed, but the inflation levels have remained near 20% as an average, with fuel double, food sometimes triple and quadruple what it was when Donald Trump was the president. But during her visit throughout Georgia, Camel Toe Harris has polished her lies, saying that the president is focused on lowering housing costs, decreasing debt, and increasing wealth for Blaffrican American communities. There are no specifics, of course, because with Democrats, there never are. There is no program in place. There's no procedure, no policy, nothing to actually do what they're lying about. But she said, quote, "Everybody wants a job. And President Joe Biden and I are very proud that in our administration, we have brought black unemployment down to historic lows. But that's just a baseline." That is a lie. Historic low unemployment rate in the black community was achieved when Donald Trump was the president. She tried to draw attention to supposed actions that the Biden administration has taken to increase entrepreneurs' access to capital at much higher interest rates, of course. Lowering housing costs, that hasn't happened. And support for historically black colleges and universities. And of course, lessening college debt by the unconstitutional forgiveness of college loans. Biden's support from black voters is experiencing significant interest and attrition at the same time, in particular, coming mostly from black men. Harris declared during an onstage discussion with leaders of a black entrepreneur network, quote, "We know that home ownership is probably the most effective way to build intergenerational wealth." Okay, but you have to get a job and you have to pay taxes and then you have to buy a house. And then you can't let that house run down in its appearance and its maintenance. You have to keep it up. There's no housing authority people coming around the corner to cut your grass, to paint your shutters, or to fix your electricity. Biden's support from black voters is experiencing significant attrition. He trails presumptive GOP nominee, former President Donald Trump, in multiple battleground states, including Georgia. And that's why Camel Toe was in Georgia. An April survey taken by Morning Consult shows Biden down over 8 points in Georgia, and that Georgia voters say the economy is their top concern in the upcoming presidential election, with only 29% of Georgia voters saying the economy is on the right track. That means, you know it, my friends, 71% know for a fact, by looking in their savings account, their checking account, their wallets, their piggy banks, that they are far, far worse off financially under Joe Biden than they were under Donald Trump. But don't worry, Mr. Biden, your approval ratings suck. But the good news is Camel Toe Harris's approval ratings suck even more. And if by some hook or crook or criminal action or fraud or election interference you happen to win again, anyone with half a brain knows that Biden will step down almost immediately after being reelected, and that Camel Toe Harris will step in to be the president. But her job approval rating is upside down with voters as well. Her disapproval rating is over 52%. A bare majority of black voters, only 51%, approved of her performance in the same USA Today Suffolk University poll back in March. Overall, her support from voters in Georgia in the morning consult survey I spoke about earlier in April say that 38% of the voters had a favorable view of her, 53% have a not favorable view of her. Yes, she's out there touring with such wonderful people as Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, Nakima Williams, and John Ossoff. She sat down with Rashad Bilal and Troy Millings of the finance podcast called Earn Your Leisure. In the discussion, she raised the issue of highways that cut through African American communities, you know, racial interstates. She says the administration under gay mayor Pete Buttigieg is trying to reconnect those communities, and they're giving out the pandering dollars to try and do so. Atlanta has one project receiving $158 million from the Biden administration to reconnect Blaffrican neighborhoods. She's done events on the economy in so-called underserved communities in the past, and nothing positive ever comes out of it. But don't worry, Georgia, she's leaving you soon, heading to Michigan next week as she continues to run through the battleground states and try and pander for votes. Meanwhile, my friends, Biden's tax crackdown is favored towards white people, according to Rahul Kumar. And it says Joe Biden's proposal to increase taxes on long-term capital gains and qualified dividends is now sparking a contentious debate, drawing criticism from various quarters who argued it unfairly targets white folks. Yes, this is how he will try to get black votes back, by targeting taxes towards white people. The Biden administration's budget proposal for 2025 includes a significant hike in the top capital gains tax rate from 20% to more than double at 44.6%, aimed at profits that investors make when selling assets like stocks, bonds, or real estate. And since not so many black folks supposedly be holding on to their properties, and they don't be homeownerships, you know what I'm saying? They don't be making the kind of capital gains on their houses when they be done sold them, because they didn't take care of them through the years. And they be, you know, on streets like Martin Luther King Boulevard, where all the shootings and stabbings and rapes and robberies and murders and drug deals be going on. The proposed increase in this tax rate will primarily impact high-income earners with taxable incomes exceeding $1 million. And unless you're counting basketball players and football players and rappers, it's going to pretty much miss most of the black community. But that's what they want. Now, I want to read to you word for word a sentence or two from this article. It says, despite advancements in educational attainment and diversity at the executive level, the racial wealth gap persists, with black families owning significantly less wealth on average when compared to white families. According to the Federal Reserve Bank of the empty city of St. Louis, Missouri, in 2024, black families still own about 24 cents of wealth for every $1 of white family wealth. Therefore, supporters of Biden's massive Let's Hate on Whitey tax program says that higher capital gains taxes could contribute to addressing this long-standing disparity. What? By taking money away from Whitey and redistributing the wealth into the black communities? Of course, critics of the Biden tax plan view it as a misguided attempt to advance his social agenda without effectively addressing the root causes of so-called wealth inequality. Critics argue that leveraging economic policies for social purposes is risky and will have unintended consequences. The proposed tax hike serves a specific social agenda without implementing any real policies to genuinely reduce the alleged racial gap in wealth. One aspect of the proposal is the potential taxation of unrealized long-term capital gains with individuals who have over $100 million in assets. Watch out, 50 Cent. Watch out, Dr. Dre. Watch out, black athletes. Biden coming for your money, just like he coming for whitey money. In summary, Biden's proposed capital gains tax hike has ignited a heated debate and will only cause more problems than it could ever think about solving. A couple of other headlines of note. Biden administration responds to the report of an effort within the White House to get rid of French dip buckwheat quota hire lesbian female black girl Karine Jean-Pierre. The White House is responding to a report that there was an outside effort last year by top Democrats and an inside effort within the Biden White House to oust the lousy press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Now a spokesman for Biden is denying claims by two people who told the New York Post that they were briefed on a plan to persuade the press secretary to leave her post. A source told the Post last fall, quote, prominent Democrats, unquote, were asked by White House advisor Anita Dunn to explain to Jean-Pierre that she should consider stepping away from her job after she had only been in the post for a year and a half. White House Deputy Press Secretary Andy Bates defended her, saying that she's being singled out. Why? Because she's gay? Because she is. Because she's black? Because she kind of is. And because she's a female? Because she kind of is. The source told the Post there were a number of people that Anita Dunn asked to engage Karine. There was an effort to have some outside folks who Karine knows and trusts talk to her about why leaving last fall would have made lots of sense for her and for her career. A source said the White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients had an intricate knowledge of the plan and supported it. A second source told the Post that people in Biden's inner circle beyond Dunn and Zients also wanted Pierre to leave, probably Biden himself. But the person said there were concerns about how it might look if the White House's black lesbian spokesperson was either fired, demoted, or replaced. The source said Jeff and Anita were trying to find Karine a graceful exit. There's a huge diversity issue, and they're afraid what folks are going to say. Karine doesn't have an understanding of the issues, and she reads the binder book word for word. She thinks she's doing an amazing job, this person said. She doesn't have a grasp of the issues and doesn't spend the time to learn. Maybe she doesn't have the ability to learn. These issues are not second nature to most people. A perfect example, Israel and Gaza, very nuanced. Jen Psaki would have had calls with people well-versed enough to go and do the briefing. The source, of course, liked Little Red the Circle Back Girl much more than they like the little black lesbian. This person added that being the spokeswoman for the president requires more effort than Jean-Pierre displays, saying, quote, there's an enormous amount of work that goes into getting ready, and consistently she, Karine Jean-Pierre, does not put in that level of work. Wait a minute. Is this source saying that Karine Jean-Pierre is a lazy black girl and she's using her ethnicity and her gayness to get away with just phoning it in? In a statement to the Post, Bates denied there was a plot to persuade Jean-Pierre to leave her job. This Post article has a quote saying, not only are these claims widely false, but the reality is the polar opposite. Karine was never approached by anyone with such a message. She spends 4 hours preparing every day. Bates says, neither Jeff or Anita did any such thing. Both have been unflinchingly supportive of her. And he took issue with the claim that Jean-Pierre is ill-prepared for her job and cannot do it without a binder to reference news briefings. He says, everyone uses the binder. Why is she being singled out? Because she sucks at her job. And if you can't see that, well, you get what you deserve. All right, folks, I've run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and have a happy Tuesday. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.